Hello and welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and I'm so happy to be with you today. Our special guest today is Jeffrey D. Miller. Jeffrey is an interesting guy with a really cool testimony, and I think you're going to be encouraged when you hear it. Here's a little bit about Jeffrey D. Miller. Jeff was actually raised Jewish, but turned to atheism in his young adult life and tried to convince many people that he was right and that there was no God. But at the age of 36, he had a supernatural encounter with God and gave his life to Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. And he has since been thrust into full-time ministry. He has some pretty cool revelations about why believing in Jesus is actually a very Jewish thing to do. He's got some amazing divine intervention stories, and I'm looking forward to introducing you to him. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Jeffrey D. Miller right now on Divine Intervention. Jeff, welcome to Divine Intervention. You are on, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, glory to God, Daniel. My blessing.
All right. I was very excited to run into you at the NRB, at the booth of our good friend Max Greiner, and I was excited to talk to you and hear about some of the amazing things God has done in your life. So why don't we take it to the beginning? Tell us about your background. What was it like for you growing up?
Well, born and raised Jewish, and Daniel, as many people may know, in a typical Jewish home today, and by today I mean over the last many decades, I grew up in the 50s, and in a typical Jewish home today, Judaism is really more about the culture and tradition of Jewishness than it is about worshiping God.
Okay.
And that's the way it was my home. You know, I went to synagogue, I went to Hebrew school, but I didn't know who God was. My parents, we didn't talk about God much other than, you know, the big guy in the sky. And
you probably didn't talk about Jesus much either, huh?
At all. Not at all. You know, I tell folks, it's like if you grew up in a typical home, did you ever talk about Buddha when you grew up?
No, but not really.
Yeah, well, that's how it was. We just did not talk about Jesus.
Okay.
He might as well have been Buddha. We didn't care.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we didn't talk about God much either. But we talked about Jewish a lot. We talked about being Jewish. But being Jewish without God is pretty empty. And
yeah.
So it's no surprise that when I was 12 years old, in synagogue, during a Hebrew prayer service, I started to think about who God really was, and I couldn't come up with much of an answer. And as a result, I left synagogue that day believing there was no God.
Wow. That's quite a departure. I mean, during a prayer service, you kind of decided there was no God?
It was pretty dead, man. I mean, I looked around me, and I noticed that everyone who was saying the prayers in Hebrew, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu, blessed are you, O Lord our God, you know, good things to say, but said them like they were just words coming out of their mouth.
Mm.
That's all they were to me, and that spurred me to say, well, who am I talking to anyway?
Now, were you an Orthodox Jew or...
I was raised Reform.
Reformed. Now, can you explain the difference? Because I'm really kind of ignorant about the differences in Judaism.
Reform is the most liberal. Conservative, kind of in the middle, and Orthodox are the ones that are strict. So, Orthodox Jews don't know who God is either. They'll tell you they do, but they don't. You can't know God without knowing Jesus.
Hmm. Well, that's a pretty bold statement coming from a Jewish person.
Yeah, well, God proved it to me. But it's pretty simple. Without Jesus, you can know about God, but you can't know God.
Hmm. We're going to get to that point in your story, but I understand from reading your bio that after you made this decision about that there was no God, you tried to convince many others of the same, that you were right and that there was no God, and you also ended up having a girlfriend who was born again. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, the first thing is that at 12 years old, I mean, I was a precocious thinker, and that's why I analyzed everything and decided there was no God. And as I went into my teens and into my 20s, I ended up really being an atheist for 24 years, Daniel. But in those 24 years, I got stronger and stronger in my assuredness that there was no God. So by the time I was in high school, I was a crusader against Jesus because I believed that people who had faith were cruising for a bruising.
Mm-hmm.
It was only the people like me who really understood that life was nothing. You live, you die, and that's all there is. That only we people were going to make it through. And the others, you guys of faith, you were in trouble. Going to wake up one morning and find out I'm right.
But how do you make it through when everyone dies? I don't understand that.
That was it. I believed you live, you die, and it's over. Nothing, it doesn't matter. There's no hell. There's no heaven.
So when you say make it through, that's kind of you're speaking very loosely there.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to say something like Wynn and Barrett.
Okay.
In that vicinity. It's not quite that, but, you know, here's life. It's an accident. I believed in the Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Here's life. It's an accident. And after that, who cares?
Right. Well, that is the logical conclusion of that particular worldview. Really, what is the meaning? And did you find meaning in that kind of life? I mean, you obviously were trying to prove that, you know, you were right and stuff, but what was it that gave your life meaning or propelled you forward in this direction?
You know, Daniel, it was all about me. I had jobs other people only dream about. I'm a former TV news anchor, former talk show host in radio and television, assistant to the mayor of my hometown, Reading, Pennsylvania, a middle, mid-sized city.
Mm-hmm.
I was a big shot. I loved my life. I loved life. I loved me. What else could there be? I was a happy camper. Listen, I never smoked, drank, or used drugs. I was not in trouble. I was a goody-two-shoes guy. Drove the speed limit. Stopped at stop signs. It's loved me because I was terrific. I loved me. I was terrific. And I had a wonderful life. My father was a doctor. We're Jewish.
And mm-hmm,
my father was a doctor. And I had a wonderful life.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sad. I wasn't depressed. I was fine. I used to say, hey, even if there is a God, I don't need him.
Right. Well, a lot of people say that today, if not with their words, with their attitudes and their actions. But you actually acknowledged it verbally.
Oh, I openly said it.
Yeah. Did your parents care about this? I mean, they're obviously Jewish. They went to synagogue. Did they care that you were an atheist?
I went to synagogue because I was in training as a youth, along with my brother and sisters. But my parents showed up in synagogue. If we went five times a year, it was a lot as a family,
okay,
as a whole family. But they were very Jewish in their eyes. They were very Jewish.
Hmm.
Again, we talked about Jewish stuff all the time. We just didn't talk about God.
Hmm, interesting.
Their view of me was, so what?
He's
an atheist. Nah, so what? The rabbi said the same thing. The rabbi would see me on the street as I got older, and he would say, Jeff, when are you coming to synagogue? And I'd say, Rabbi, I don't think so. And he'd say, yeah, come on. It's good for you, you know?
Did the rabbi believe in God at least?
I can't answer for every rabbi, but I will tell you, in my opinion, there's a ton of rabbis who are atheists or agnostics.
Wow.
I believe many of them are, and those who aren't, if you try to pin them down on who God is, they're going to struggle.
Yeah.
They have set answers. But I repeat what I said earlier, Daniel. I'm convinced if you don't know Jesus, you can't know God.
Mm.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Friend, you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and our special guest today is Jeffrey D. Miller. He is sharing a little bit about his background of being raised Jewish and then deciding to be an atheist for a while. But now, as you've heard, he believes that Jesus is the only way to know God. So, Jeff, tell us, how did you come around and start to believe that Jesus was the only way to God after being an atheist for 24 years?
Well, as you mentioned, I was dating a born-again Christian woman. Daniel, women were my life. Again, I was a happy guy,
mm-hmm,
in the public eye. I was used to sign autographs. People got excited to meet me. And I was a runaround bachelor in the worst sense of the word. And I didn't think I ever sinned in my whole life, man, because I was a good person. So I'm running around, women. It was everything. Went to work at this TV station and worked right next to a good-looking blonde on the news team. I didn't know she was a born-again Christian.
Okay.
But she sure was pretty, and I was very attracted to her. And after a year of working side-by-side with this woman, we started dating. And I tell people all the time, remember the Odd Couple?
Yeah.
Well, you got one right there. A Christian and an atheist Jew.
That's an interesting mix.
Needless to say, it wasn't anything either of us had planned in that sense. And she went before the Lord after we started dating and basically said, God, what have I done wrong here? How did I get mixed up with an atheist Jew? And the Spirit of God spoke to her heart and told her that I, atheist Jew, was going to come to know Jesus.
Wow.
And that me, runaround bachelor, would marry her.
Wow.
And so, praise God, she had the wisdom to not tell me that.
I was going to say, how did you react to this news?
Well, I would have left in a hurry. But she prayed, prayed, and prayed. And over the two-year time that we dated, it was like she had a tiger by the tail, man. I was an idiot. I'm breaking dates with her to see other women because I knew that she was a Christian and she'd have to forgive me.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's not a good date.
Right.
And she would try to witness to me about Jesus, and we stopped seeing each other a couple times, but kept coming back, and basically, without her faith, she'd have been long gone.
Right.
Long gone.
So she would believe in God for your salvation.
She stood on that. She said, God, I know what you showed me, and I'm believing it. And then she would have no reason to believe it. And she stood there anyway. So after 2 years, one day, after the late news, I challenged her. I said, you know, I'm so sure there's no God, and I'm sick of you telling me about him. I'm going to prove it. I will search for God. Now, I was a newsman, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, logical, rational, right. Analytical.
You knew about investigation and evidence and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And see, I had already observed the universe, and there was no God in it. That was it. I had drawn that conclusion.
Okay.
And again, this is 24 years of atheism, man. I knew there was no God. So I said to her, I'm so sure he's not there. I'm going to prove it to you. I will search for him. He's not there. I won't find him, and then you'll know once and for all that I'm right and you're wrong.
I wonder how God looks at this and, you know, how he reacts to statements like that. He's probably up there laughing and say, oh, you got something in store for you, buddy.
I honestly believe that the people who are arrogant about their lack of faith or angry about their lack of faith are the ones who are closest to God.
Really?
The ones that just say, man, I don't care, whatever, they're the hardest to reach.
Hmm.
The ones who have an attitude, especially if it's anger, they're under spiritual challenges. In other words, something's going on inside them that's challenging what they believe with the truth, and they don't want to buy it. And so there's an internal argument going on. And they don't know that.
Well, this gives me great encouragement because I have several friends who are diehard atheists, you know, who challenge me at every corner. Very good friends who I love dearly, who are just on the complete opposite side of the spectrum that I am. So hearing you say that gives me great hope.
Well, let me add a couple quick things, because this is my life in ministry, is really got this call because of my former atheism. A couple quick things. Number one is when somebody gets really angry with you or sticks their finger in your face or is arrogant and like, you know, you, how can you be so stupid as to believe this baloney? You know, count that all a joy. And that's what I believe those scriptures are about.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to turn the other cheek when you realize that the person for whom you're turning the other cheek needs your help.
Mm-hmm.
And your help isn't come in trying to beat them over the head with the Bible. Your help doesn't come in trying to prove them wrong. Your help comes in allowing God to prove them wrong. And
right.
So if you lay down your life and say, go ahead, Holy Spirit, get them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't convince them, but you can. Now watch this, Daniel, because one of the things, especially for a Jewish person, but for any unsaved person, one of the things they can't get is how you can say, well, I guess it seems stupid to you, but it's what I believe. They say, ooh, how can they do that? And
yeah.
That's a challenge that just gets them stern inside because they know, look, this is a sensible person. How can they act so stupid? Is God going to show them?
Right.
It's going to take God to show them. And that's the way it was with me, man, as you'll hear in a minute. You know, it wasn't what anybody said to me that convinced me. It was God's hand touched me and changed my whole life. But I just want to encourage anyone listening, when you are challenged by someone who's in your face or even yelling at you or pointing a finger at you or just with that same arrogance that I used to have, well, I'm glad it works for you, but I know better, you know. So you can go on your silly little path if you want, but I got the right answer. Yeah, count that a joy and just look at them and say, you'll see.
Hmm. Well, I want to let that be an encouragement to you, friend. You know, pray for your friends who are non-believers and watch God move because it's really, you know, it's not flesh and blood that can reveal who Jesus is to people. As he said in his word, it's God, the Father from heaven, who can only open people's eyes because it really is a spiritual blindness. As much as people may have intellectual arguments or stumbling blocks, it really is a spiritual thing. So, Jeff, how did it happen for you?
Yeah, let me just add on to what you just said there, Daniel. We can't save anybody.
No, we can't.
We can't save anybody, but we can be used as a vehicle by the Holy Spirit to open the door that then God uses to come. My born-again Christian girlfriend, I said, not going to happen, and prove it to you. There is no God, and I'm not going to find him, and set out to search for God. And in the 6 weeks that I searched for God, and incidentally, I thought it was going to take a week to 10 days, because I thought I was brilliant, and I had the world under and the universe understood, and I said, well, I'm going to prove there's no God. Lickety split. 6 weeks later, I'm still searching for God, and had found nothing. But, a physical problem that had bothered me all of my adult life, and I was now in my mid-30s.
Okay.
During these 6 weeks that I'm searching for God, now how was I searching for God? Objectively, analytically. I mean, I did everything she told me. I'm reading every book she gave me. That's the most empty prayer a man could pray. Right? God, if you're there, and I know you're not, but I don't care. I'm, just in case you are, okay. There, said it, kind of thing. But I'm doing everything she told me, and nothing changed, with this exception. Nothing changed in my heart. But what did change was a physical problem over a decade, well over a decade of my life. It went away. And I mean, it just wasn't there anymore. No muss, no fuss, it just wasn't there.
Can you elaborate on what it was?
Well, it was a digestive problem, and I started to eat foods that would really bother me, and they didn't.
Hmm. And you've had this, you had it like 20 years?
Yeah, 15.
15 years, wow.
But
okay.
But the point is, it just went away.
Hmm. I mean, so that's curious.
It went away. Well, and I said, hey, I lucked out. Body chemistry changes.
Yeah.
So, at the end of roughly 6 weeks of my searching, I was still searching, and I was reading a book by the Walt Disney movie actor Dean Jones.
Okay.
Best known for his Walt Disney movies like Herbie the Love Bug and That Darn Cat. And he was world famous. He was filthy rich. He had everything a man could want. And he was a mess. He wrote a book about it. That's how I know this. He wrote a book talking about how he came to know Jesus.
Really?
And I'm reading this book because I wouldn't have touched a book like this. But I'm proving there's no God, so I'm reading this book, and he's talking about God like he's real. And I'm talking to the book, and I kid you not, Daniel, I mean, I'm reading this book going like, Dean, how can you be so stupid? And it was late night, Saturday night, July of 1983. Now, I was working weekends at a radio station, and it was a late night shift, and I was on the air. July 1983, Saturday night. Nobody's in the building, typical of a radio, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in the building but me, and I'm all by myself, and nobody saw or heard what was about to happen. Surely I had no clue. And the music was playing, the mic, this is stupid. And I say that, I mean, I thought it was stupid.
Okay, but yet you kept reading.
Well, I'm objective and analytical, and I'm
okay.
Proving there's no God.
Right.
See, I wasn't finding out if there was a God. I am proving there's no God.
All right.
And my pursuit is, I'm going to prove it till it's proven. She gave me this book. I'm going to read the book, and there won't be any God in there either. I'm reading this book. Nobody's in the building but me. Microphone's off. Music's playing, and I'm reading blah, blah, blah. That's what it was to me, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. And I read in the book that Dean Jones' fiance gets prayed over for a physical problem she had, and the Lord healed her. Well, who believed that nonsense? Mind over matter? Sure, I could buy that, but healing by a God who doesn't exist? No way, Jose. And I knew it was baloney. So I'm reading blah, 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 and then I read these simple words, Dan. Now, you got to get this, and you and your listeners know I had so much non-faith, it was the biggest zero you can imagine. I knew there was no God. Jesus, Shmeezus, who cared? Didn't even think Jesus ever lived. I had no faith. I believed in me. I believed in evolution. I believed when you die, it's over. Who cares anyway?
Okay.
Then I read these simple words. Don't you see, she said, his fiance said, God healed me.
Hmm.
Daniel, as surely as I am talking to you today, as I read those words, God healed me. It was as if lightning struck me. God healed me. Bam! And I didn't see any lightning. I didn't hear any thunder, but I sure felt something. It hit me hard. And it didn't hurt, but it ran from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, up and down my body, like being on a roller coaster of the highest height ever times 10.
Wow.
Ooh, up and down my body. This thing ran up and down, and instantaneously, I was crying my eyes out. And the next thing I knew, I'm crying and crying and crying. This thing, and I didn't know what was going on. It's like, what is happening? Up and down my body, up and down my body. The next thing I knew, on their own, my hands lifted up. Now, I did not lift up my hands. They went up. I'm standing there in this radio studio, looking up at the drop, my head's up, looking up at the drop ceiling of that radio studio with hands lifted up, and this atheist said, Lord God, I'm healed.
Mm. Wow.
An atheist says, Lord God, that's something.
Yeah.
Says, Lord God, I'm healed. I could barely talk because I was crying.
That's amazing.
Next thing I knew, this atheist Jew said, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. You were probably surprised that that came out of your mouth too, right?
Surprised is not the word. Shocked out of my mind. Daniel, even as I said the words, thank you, Jesus, inside my head, my mind was saying, what?
How outrageous.
That's it. I could not believe I was saying this. But there I stood, the presence of God upon me, praising his name, calling out to my Savior, whom moments before I did not acknowledge as having ever lived. Now I'm calling out to him.
That is amazing. That is something like Saul on the way to Damascus. Not quite, but a conversion experience like that. Wow.
I've heard that many times in my life. I don't remember finishing the rest of the shift, Daniel, but I got home that night. It was 2:30 in the morning, and I walked into my bedroom. I'm 36 years old now. 36 years old. Walked into my bedroom and fell on my knees.
Hmm. Wow.
And this atheist who thought he never sinned said, Lord God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my sins.
Hmm.
And then I said, Jesus, I want you in my life. I give my heart to you.
This is amazing because you're an atheist, you're a Jew, you've probably never been to church or read the Bible, right? Or have
you? Nope, either, right.
Wow.
Avoided both like the plague. And there I am on my knees proclaiming Jesus. And again, in my head, I could not believe I'm saying these words. It's like I was two different people. Well, I didn't understand the difference between flesh and spirit.
Sure.
At that point in my life, but now I understand what's going on.
So God is definitely reaching down and touching your life. Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio, and I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we're speaking with our special guest, Jeffrey D. Miller. Coming up, we're going to hear how Jeffrey's life was totally changed and how God has been working through him and in him since that time and some of the amazing divine interventions he's experienced since he received Jesus as his Savior and started walking closely with God. You're listening to Divine Intervention Radio.
Now there's a million reasons for you to go, but if you can find a reason to stay, I'll do whatever it takes to turn this around. I know what's at stake. I know that I've let you down. And if you give me a chance.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. If you enjoy the testimonies featured on my talk show, I've also written a book series containing more amazing stories of God's divine interventions and miracles. More information about Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volumes 1 and 2, can be found at DivineInterventionRadio.com. That's www.DivineInterventionRadio.com or by calling 866-381-BOOK. That's 866-381-2665.
Hi, this is Chuck Colson. You're listening to Daniel Fazina on Divine Intervention Radio.
Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years, offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334.
Hi, this is William Paul Young, author of the bestseller The Shack, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio with Daniel Fazina.
I got little pigs in a blanket, gonna bring a ring of wings of some sausage, tenderloin bacon, green ham and eggs. Or eat some pork chops. How about some plain old ribs? Always no honky, no biggie. You know it's in Leviticus. My honey, my baby, don't put my lunch upon no shelf. She said, don't hand me no swine and keep your ham to yourself.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and I'm very excited to be speaking with our special guest today, Jeffrey D. Miller, who is a minister, and he was telling us before the break about how he was raised Jewish, then became an atheist for 24 years before God got a hold of him. Welcome back, Jeffrey.
Shalom, brother. Great to be here.
All right. So now God zapped you in the radio station where you were working. You were an atheist and a Jew and didn't believe in Jesus or anything like that, yet you started praising him. How did your life go from there? How did your life change?
Well, obviously that was the most amazing thing that ever happened to me. I mean, it was a 180. I went from blaspheming God to praising Jesus in a split second.
Right.
But I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about Jesus.
Did you realize at that point when you read the book where it said God healed me, did you realize that God healed you as well?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that, but I proclaimed, Lord God, I'm healed.
Hmm.
Right after I read God healed me, and the Spirit of God was literally running up and down my body. And Daniel, you know, I want to say I know that this is where you live in your program, but for those listening, I was a guy who would have said, if I'd have heard my own story, I would have said he's nuts. I would have said he's dreaming, or he's out of his mind, or he ate something funny and that's what's happened. He just had an hallucination, because I was not a guy that believed any of this stuff, but it happened to me.
Right. Basically. I mean, when you're suffering from a physical condition for 15 years and then it suddenly goes away and then you have this realization, I mean, that's something that you can't really argue against, can you?
The presence of God filled me, and I was a man proving there was no God, and instead I got filled with his presence.
Hmm.
And I still, to this day, can't describe it other than it like being like the most enormous feeling of thrill's the wrong word, but like being on a roller coaster ride of it just took me away. Well, and of course, God had more to. I was not reading the Bible, but walking around the house saying, "Praise Jesus, hallelujah!" I didn't know who he was. I didn't understand the details of my salvation. I just knew there is a God. Go figure. There is a God. He has a son, Jesus. Wow. And I was so thrilled with that. I was so excited about that, but I didn't have any substance to it because I wasn't reading the Word. And so it was just a wonderful short-term walk of not knowing what was next. But, boy, people started to tell me you look different.
Mm. I bet your countenance has changed a bit.
Let me just add one other thing. That night when I got into my bedroom right after I had that experience and I asked Jesus into my heart, Daniel, I would have bet you $1 trillion if I had a trillion that I was not unhappy or had no burdens in life. I loved my life. But that night on my knees as I was praying to God and accepting Jesus, I felt it lift off of me.
Hmm.
I felt something leave.
So you felt even better than you did before?
Off my shoulders. And I was happy, but man, on my knees, I felt it lift off because the burdens, and at the time, I just knew I felt it. I felt that again. If I'd have told the story to myself, or I believed, I said, "Yeah, right. You felt something, sure."
So that's
I did.
Maybe that's the peace that the Lord says that the world can't give and the world can't take away.
Amen. That's what I think it is. Now I didn't know it then, but I know that now.
And I think you make an interesting point, and I think there's a distinction between happiness and true joy, you know, and peace in God. So maybe that's what you were experiencing at that point.
Well, here, bottom line on that one is simple. Everything in your life doesn't work out the way you want it to. Loved ones will die. Happiness comes and goes depending on circumstances. But the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that's there even at a funeral of our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, your team wins the World Series, you're happy. Your team loses the World Series, you're not happy.
Right. I experienced that firsthand when I was following college basketball shortly after I graduated college. I remember my team losing, and I'd be depressed for like a week. And I'm like, man, I really got to stop this. This is just not good.
Yeah, but see, but that happiness.
Yeah, right.
That's happiness. But the joy of the Lord is our strength,
mm-hmm.
and that joy is with us even at a funeral of our closest friend or family member. We're not happy, but we still have God's joy.
That's right.
There's a big difference between those two.
I experienced it being stricken with a potentially fatal disease. I had cancer, and the doctors told me I could be dead within a matter of weeks, but I had God's peace, you know, throughout that whole thing, and people were really amazed
at
that.
Happy to have cancer?
No, I wasn't happy to have cancer, not at all, not by a long shot. But
you had the joy of the Lord despite.
Right, and I had peace about it, and I think it was really a lot harder on the people around me, my loved ones, than it was on me. If you can relate to that in any way, I don't know, but
and my born-again Christian girlfriend was the same way. She had no happiness when I was acting like a jerk and running around and treating her poorly. And I never physically abused her, but I spiritually abused her.
Right.
Because prior to that time, I was, you know, nuts, in the world. I was just, so worldly.
And how did you break it to her about your experience? How did she take it?
It's really neat. I called her on the phone the next day, and because she lived in another city. She came down to work in my city at the TV station. But I called her, and I told her what happened, and she said, "That's it, you're born again." And I said, "No way." I didn't know what it meant to be born again, and I didn't want to be a Jesus freak. And so I said, "No way," but of course I was.
Wow.
Now she's thinking, "God, you did what you said. He came to know Jesus, just like you told me he would." And now she's saying, "God, he's your choice for me to be married, so I want to marry him." And incidentally, if you would have asked her, she would have said that I wasn't her choice.
Wow.
But when she saw that I was God's choice for her, she bought into that. She said, "So be it."
Hmm.
And, I mean, she loved me and she cared for me.
Did you propose to her, like, right away, or did you even know that she was the one, or what?
A long way home.
Yeah.
Well, see, I thought that I had heard from God. No, I hadn't. I want to make that clear. This was not from God. But I thought I had heard from God that he wanted me to date single women and be intimate with them and tell them about Jesus.
Mm. Well, that's interesting.
Oh, God, you're so good. What a plan. Man. And that's your role for me, Bachelor for Christ.
Wow.
And I'm going to go love them and save them. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go. And meanwhile, over time, here's my born-again Christian girlfriend, because she had heard from God. And I said, "Marriage? I can't get married. It'll wreck my ministry."
Had you been reading about where Paul says it's better to be unmarried?
I hadn't read the Bible yet.
Okay.
Obviously. I mean, if I thought this was what God called me to do. Anyway, and she said, "You're crazy." No, I'm not. This is God's call on my life. And the time came that she left because she said, "Why are we together?" And I couldn't come up with a decent reason. And she left. And meanwhile, I didn't know this. She's saying, "God, I don't understand. You told me you'd come to know Jesus, and he did, and that was a miracle, obviously." And then she says, "But we're supposed to be together, and I don't know what's going on." And she just kept praying for me. Even during months that we weren't seeing each other, she kept praying for me.
Okay.
So the day came that months later, I went to bed one night, and I always prayed at night. And I used to pray, "Dear God, thank you that you want me to be a bachelor." I prayed that fervently.
That's a very high calling.
I heard it fervently, but I said, but what do you want me to do about Karen? That, of course, was my born-again Christian girlfriend. I said, what do you want me to do about Karen? And I went to sleep a confirmed bachelor, and I woke up the next morning a married man. I was consumed with marrying Karen. I went to bed saying, no way. Woke up saying, yes, I must do this. And I was all excited. Marry Karen. What a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? And I'm all excited about this. And it took me 6 months. 6 months. But I proposed. And she said yes. And praise God, we got married. And we had a Messianic Jewish wedding where we proclaimed our faith from the altar when we took our vows. After we took our vows, we turned around and prayed for the congregation in the name of Jesus. Now, my unsaved Jewish family and friends were there.
Oh, boy. I bet you that went over well.
It did. It did. In fact, people, we didn't see anybody give their heart to Jesus, but people came up to us in the reception line crying.
Wow.
Saying, that was the most beautiful wedding I've ever seen. Even the Jewish people.
That's great.
Saying, that was just amazing. So, praise the Lord. I mean, we just... When we got married, it was committed to God.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, when you had an experience like that, and then God's directing you, and I just love how sometimes He changes people overnight. Like He did that. He did that with me once too, where because I used to be very pro-choice when I was in high school. And
oh, me, I was on the board of Planned Parenthood, man.
Oh, really? Wow. So I had this friend who was born again also, and she would give me tracts, and she would talk to me about abortion and how it's wrong and how the life starts at conception, all this literature and stuff. And I used to debate the issue. I knew all the issues on both sides. I just didn't think it was wrong. And I finally told her one day, just, you know, I don't want to talk about this anymore with you because we just get into fights. And it was literally, I went to bed one day several years later, and I woke up. And this is after I had been really searching out for God and taking Him more seriously. But I literally woke up one day and I was pro-life. And I was like, God, you know, I'm so sorry. How could I have thought these thoughts? And He started bringing scriptures to my mind, like from Jeremiah, where it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and set you apart. I'm the God of the living, not of the dead. So all that arguing and all those debates couldn't change my mind, but God did it in a single night. I just find God's transformational power just awesome.
You know, it's available to everyone. The truth is, though, that those of us who are stupid enough to fight for the wrong positions are the ones that God has to do this big transformation stuff. Hmm. So many people find the path of righteousness more calmly than we did because they don't fight as hard. Hmm. Praise God for that. They don't need it. But for those of us that need it, God, they...
Well, I'm so glad that He is able and He is willing to reach in and change us where we need to be changed. Friend, you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and our special guest today is Jeffrey D. Miller. So, Jeff, now tell us, because eventually you got into full-time ministry and you described it as being blindsided by God into ministry. So tell us about how that took place.
Yeah, another amazing story about how God has to change people. I had ended up, I was a very successful broadcaster, and I was the boss, of course. And,
right.
But let me just back up. I went to Israel. I've only been to Israel once, and as a Jewish guy, especially a Jewish evangelist, I really should have been there more. But I was there once, and it was right after I came to faith, and I really didn't know anything. Hadn't read the Bible yet. Didn't even understand the significance of Jerusalem.
Okay.
And this is now right after I gave my heart to Jesus, and I'm walking around Jerusalem with my mouth gaping open, not literally, but figuratively, because I could sense the presence of God there, and I didn't know what I was looking at, but I knew, wow, this is amazing.
Hmm.
And I went to the upper room. Now, of course, the upper room's rebuilt. The rebuilt upper room, and I didn't know what it was. I mean, I honestly said, the upper room, oh yeah, that's over the lower room.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah. And I'm standing in the upper room, and just like as there are at many of the sites around Jerusalem, there was a prayer group. They're all over the place, and these folks were singing, and they were just singing so beautifully. I'd never heard anything like that in my life. And as I stood there listening to them sing, I lifted up my hands in worship. And they saw me. And so when they stopped singing, and again, I'd never seen any of these people in my life. I was in Jerusalem. They were from the U.S., but I'd never seen them.
Okay.
They came over, thanks for worshiping with us. And one guy stuck his finger in my face, and he said, you will be used as a mouthpiece for the Lord.
Hmm.
And wow. Hugged me, and he walked away. And, you know, I said, yeah, right, whatever. Well, 6 years later, now that happened shortly after I came to faith.
Right.
6 years later, I was the general manager of a TV station. I was doing very well for myself. I'm married to my born-again Christian wife. I'm reading the Bible. I'm a whole different person now, much more mature in the Lord. And I got fired.
Hmm.
Now, I was the boss, but I got fired. A new president of the company came in, and we didn't get along, and he fired me. I knew CEOs, politicians, everybody. I was a very connected guy, and I thought, okay, well, God, you have something else for me. So I had these other plans to start my own businesses, and I was going, man, I was going to make even more money than I made in television, and I was doing fine. And one by one, these opportunities just weren't panning out, kind of fading away into the sunset. And I stood in my living room after a couple of months of being out of work, and I looked up at the ceiling, and I said, God, I was very frustrated. I said, God, what do you want me to do? Just like that, maybe a little louder. God, what do you want me to do? Because things weren't working out. And in that still small voice or that inward witness, but inside me, in my spirit, I heard full-time traveling ministry.
Mm.
And, you know, atheist Jews don't even think about being in ministry. even after I came to Jesus, ministry was never a thought. I hadn't even the slightest inkling to want to be in ministry. And I looked up at the ceiling, and I said, me? Back to God. Me? And I said, full time? And once again, the Spirit of God spoke so clearly into my heart. I told you in Jerusalem.
Wow.
And I remembered, you'll be used as a mouthpiece for the Lord.
Mm.
I stood up, and I went, oh, my goodness. And I ran into the kitchen where my wife was sitting, and I said, honey, I'm going in full-time traveling ministry. And she said, huh? And praise God, I knew it was God. I knew it was God. Now, I didn't have any idea how to do it, but I knew it was God.
Wow.
That was 22 years ago, Daniel.
So you've been in full-time ministry since then?
22 years in full-time traveling ministry. I've been literally from one end of this country to the other. Haven't been in every state, but I've been in most states, from north, south, east, and west, and a few foreign countries in between.
That is very cool. Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are speaking with our special guest, Jeffrey D. Miller. So, Jeff, I want to hear about some of your stories. In the course of 22 years of ministry, you must have had some interesting experiences. So any instances of divine interventions and answered prayers you've encountered while on the road and doing ministry, I'd love to hear.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, and I've probably forgotten most of them. But let me say this. As a Messianic Jewish evangelist, that is, I'm a Jew, and I believe Jesus, and therefore I'm still Jewish.
Right.
And my whole ministry to the church is, here's the Jewish truth about Jesus, to better equip you to go out and witness or pray for Jewish people.
Okay.
Because when we tell a Jewish person, you're going to hell unless you convert and become a Christian, that's the wrong way to do it.
Okay.
The right way to do it is to reach them in a Jewish context, which is to say, hey, Messiah, Jesus, he's a Jew, and I follow the Jewish Messiah. But anyway, that's what God has had me do for 22 years in hundreds of churches and all over the United States. But here's a really, really neat scenario. Now, for those who believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this will really, really be powerful. When I first started ministry, all I did was my testimony, because you heard a little bit of it today, and it's very dramatic,
sure,
very powerful, and it's very funny, too.
Yes.
So I would go to churches, and I would give my testimony. And then I would say, thanks, goodbye, you know. And I went to a conference where they had someone who had the gift of prophecy, and this man spoke to me and said, you have a gift for one-on-one ministry. And my wife said to me after he said that to me, do you know what he said to you? And I said, yeah, you know, there's some people that I'm able to get through to one-on-one because I'm a real gregarious guy and I have a type A personality and I'm very communicative. You know, she said, I don't think that's what he said. Gifts of the Spirit. Gift for one-on-one ministry. Gifts of the Spirit. And I went, I don't do that.
What does that even mean? I don't follow you.
All right, the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, the gift of words of knowledge, words of wisdom.
But how did she get that out of one-on-one?
Well, that's what the Spirit of God spoke to her heart.
Okay.
All right, and I'm saying, I don't do that. That's not what my life's about. So the very next time that I went out to minister, it was in West Virginia. The very next time I went out to minister, I gave my testimony. And at the end of the testimony, I didn't used to do this when I ministered.
Okay.
At the end of my ministry time giving my testimony, I said, if anybody wants to pray, I want to pray with you.
Okay.
And after I said that, I went, I don't do that. There was an altar there, you know, the kind of the railing across the front, and a couple came up, and I knelt down. This is my very first time in a, if you will, prayer line, and I knelt down. There were cushions there, and knelt down, and I looked at these people and said, well, what can you pray about? And they looked at me and said, we don't know. The Lord just told us to come up here. Well, now, this is my very first time I'm praying with people like this in that format. And they're saying, we don't know, ever.
They're like, probably throw me a bone here, Lord. What do I do?
Exactly. And I'm going, literally. And so I start a fishing expedition. I start saying, well, what do you think it could be? How are your kids? What about this? What about that? Now, Daniel, again, this is so wild and weird, but God can do anything. While I'm asking them these questions, the Lord shut my mouth. And here's what I mean. I opened my mouth to speak, and it was like nothing came out.
Mm.
And you can't see me doing this, but it's almost like a fish, right? When a fish opens his mouth, and no sound comes out. And
this,
I'm trying to talk, and I can't talk. And they're starting to look at me weird, because I'm going, I have this multiple trying to talk and not have...
And you're supposed to be the mouthpiece for God, right? And you can't talk?
So I'm saying in my head, I'm going, God, what are you doing? What? What's happening? And I mean, I was on the verge of panic, but I wasn't panicking. And then, just like that, I turned and looked at this woman. I pointed my finger in her face, and I said, you've got a problem with unforgiveness. And she looked at me, and she said, oh, if there's one thing I don't have, it's unforgiveness.
Hmm.
Yes, you do. And I'm going to pray for you. And I stood up, and I laid hands on her. And she's within 10 seconds, she's crying her eyes out.
Wow.
And I'm praying, God, strengthen her to have forgiveness. And she's crying her eyes out. And then her husband-to-be, I didn't know, husband-to-be was next to her.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then I came back around and we prayed, and she starts confessing, and it was amazing.
So she actually did have unforgiveness.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Absolutely. And the thing was, I wouldn't have known that if it had hit me over the head. My wife says, I believe you're supposed to be flowing in the gifts. That's what this man just said to you by the Spirit of God. And I'm going like, yeah, right. I don't do that. And the very next time I went out to minister, God shuts my mouth. Like, stop saying that, what you're saying. Let me use you.
Hmm.
Let me flow through you. And what does he do? Something I never could have done in the natural. Never. And that was my very first experience with that kind of prayer ministry at all, let alone having a word from God.
Wow.
But, and let me just back up just one more second. Because earlier, prior to that time that I got prophesied over, I had been at a meeting, going in the gifts. And I remember standing there, looking at him, watching God at work through this man. And I said, and I remember it quite clearly, I said, wow, I could never do that. Later, God showed me, that's when I knew I could use you. When you knew it's not of you, that's when I could use you.
That's a great encouragement.
Praise the Lord.
You know, and it's a great place to be if you know that you're, you know, if you're humble and you know you can't do it, that's when God can come in and take over and really, you know, use a person like that. So, very good. I like that. If you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Jeffrey D. Miller. He is our special guest on Divine Intervention. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. Jeff, we got just a couple minutes left, so if you have another story you'd like to share real quick, that would be great, and then we'll close out.
I was ministering at a Messianic Jewish congregation. Now, that's a congregation of Jews and Gentiles together. They're all over the country.
Right.
Messianic Jewish congregation, Jews and Gentiles worshiping Jesus together in a Jewish context. But Jesus is primary.
Right.
And I was at a Messianic Jewish congregation. This is a good 15 years ago. And after the service, I was praying with people, and somebody came up to me and said, there's a man over there who's Jewish but has not accepted Jesus. So I said, where is he? And I went over to him, and the man was a lawyer. I spent 45 minutes, by the clock, I noticed it, 45 minutes. I tried every technique I knew. I cajoled him. I threatened him. I gave him my testimony. I did everything I knew how to do. I used scripture, I used examples and everything. And the most I got out of this guy was, interesting. I see. Oh. And he was just completely removed from what I was saying. There was no passion. I didn't touch any buttons on him. You know, and I'm saying, nothing's working, God. But I just did it. 45 minutes. Finally, I'm giving up. I'm ready to lunch, you know. I said, okay, brother, well, thanks for taking the time. And we were standing the whole time.
Okay.
In the back of the auditorium. And as I turn to walk away, the Spirit of God moves in my heart, says, sit him down and I'll show him. Those were the words I heard inside me, not in my ears, in my spirit.
Okay.
Sit him down and I'll show him. Now, my initial reaction is, what's the difference if he's standing or sitting? You know, who cares? But I, just out of obedience, I whipped around. I mean, I turned like suddenly and I said to him, sit down. And he goes, oh, okay. Sat down. And I sat in the chair in front of him. And I again, finger in the face. I'm Jewish. We do this a lot. Finger in the face. And I said, he will show you. And he went, oh, okay. And I said, are you willing to do that? He said, okay. So I said, it's simple. Just say, God, if this is true, I really want to know. So he said it. God, if this is true, I really want to know. And he had his head bowed. And then I watched. And I watched as his head started to shake a little bit. Shake more. And now it's bobbing up and down. And the man looks up, tears streaming down his face, and he says, Yeshua, which is Hebrew for Jesus.
Wow.
And I went, oh, hallelujah. That man received Jesus. And it's, Daniel, it's almost like I spent 45 minutes doing everything I knew how to do, and almost as if God said, are you done now, Jeff? You want to let me do this?
I love it.
And so... sit him down, and I'll show him.
That is awesome.
And there he was, and praise God. And then the elders at the congregation were, I didn't realize this, that whole time they were watching. This is like 50 minutes later. And I looked up, and there they were, and I called them over, and I said, George just received the Lord, and they danced around him, and he praised God. It was just amazing.
Wow. Well, Jeff, we are just about out of time, but I want to thank you so much for taking the time on Divine Intervention to share your very inspirational and humorous and entertaining testimony as well. If our listeners would like to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Yes, our website is jeffreydmiller.com.
jeffreydmiller.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, jeffreydmiller.com. It's under construction, but you can send an email through there.
All right.
That part can still be done. So jeffreydmiller.com, and they can email me right through that website. I just want to add one other quick thing, Daniel. You know, the amazing thing is that the scripture that says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Because I realize that the almighty glory and power of God is greater than our ability to understand. And when we get out of the road and be his servant and his tool and his vehicle, vessel, great things happen.
Amen. Jeffrey D. Miller, thank you so much, sir, for joining us on Divine Intervention. I appreciate you, and keep up the great work you're doing for the Lord.
Shalom, brother.
Well, friends, that about does it for this episode of Divine Intervention. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me at divineintervention@mail.com, divineintervention@mail.com. And of course, if you'd like to listen to our archives, you can check us out online, divineinterventionradio.com. God willing, we will see you again next week for another exciting edition of Divine Intervention. Take care and God bless. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. I hope it has inspired you. More information about the show, free downloads, and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com.